The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into a life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord.
It was Easter Monday in the year 1949. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you were alive in 1949. No, I said not. No. In the back, not raise your hand. Well, you can raise your hand if you want, I guess. But there we were. 1949, Easter Monday, about 11 o'clock in the evening. And the priests, the clergy who were attempting an exorcism of a young boy, anonymously known as Robbie, they experienced a breakthrough. A breakthrough. You see, this young boy, Robbie, had opened himself up to the spiritual realm. He used a Ouija board, the kind of seemingly innocent game, which is not so innocent. Why? It opens us up spiritual life. And even though he was attempting to contact the spirit of his deceased grandmother, whom he had a relationship, what else came through that portal? Demonic powers. And he was then influenced by and ultimately possessed by several demons. And over the months and even years in this state of affliction, of being bound by dark forces, he could find no help. Until he came to the Catholic Church. He wasn't Catholic at all. Young boy, his parents brought him to a priest, and they began to pray blessings and exorcisms, and yet they were stuck. They were stuck. And on that Easter Monday, 10:45 at night, as it comes down to us, the priest who was officiating the exorcism prayed a very powerful prayer, a very special prayer. What prayer did he pray? The prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. And in that moment, Saint Michael showed up. There was a voice that was heard, confirmed by everyone in the room, identifying himself as Michael and commanding that the demons depart. And they left with a sonic boom. and a flash of light that was reported by eyewitnesses several miles around the locale there in Chicago. All this story is true. Robbie, in fact, is an eyewitness and gave a testimony towards it. He said in that moment he was kind of comatose, paralyzed. He saw St. Michael vanquish those demons that had chained his soul down, had captured him in that sense. And even though we might think of the life of spirituality of demons and devils as being fictitious or simply stories or legendary, this story is accounted by several eyewitnesses and in fact became the substance of the movie The Exorcist. Now, of course, when Hollywood got its hands on it, it became entertainment. It became kind of a horror show. They switched out, you know, girl for a boy and lots of things. And what unfortunately they did, most unfortunate in my mind, is they muted the power of St. Michael. The whole point, if you will, is that when we are stuck, and they were stuck in a very powerful way with this demonic possession and influence, when we're stuck, St. Michael shows up. St. Michael has the power to defeat any spiritual darkness. There is no spiritual force that can contend with St. Michael. Today, then, on his feast, I think we want to take a moment to reflect on the nature of St. Michael. And I just want to begin by saying, you could say a lot about angels. And in fact, if you don't walk away from this homily with more questions, then I haven't done my job. Because you can ask lots of questions. Today, I want to keep it very simple, very practical. Point to two aspects of a relationship with St. Michael and how we might, practically speaking, have a relationship with and connect with the power of St. Michael, okay? Just two very simple sorts of considerations. The first consideration is that, first of all, we have to be aware. And secondly, we have to intentionally activate. So awareness and activation. Awareness and activation. First point, awareness. We have to take seriously that the spiritual life, that right now there is a spiritual realm that interacts with us, and it is real. It is real. St. Paul says the great struggle we have is not with simply flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. We look at the gospel. What does Jesus give his disciples the power to do? What's the first power he gives them when they go out? Does he give them power to preach and teach? Not, that's not the first thing he gives them. What does he give them the power to do? Cast out demons. That's what they're doing in the gospel today. And after one of the earlier masses, someone said, well, that's the olden days, right? That doesn't really happen. You know what my response to that is? Do you know the greatest lie ever told? The greatest lie the devil tells is what? That he doesn't exist. The devil doesn't care if you believe in God. Yeah, fine, everything's nice and dandy and hopeful and whatever. Yeah, whatever. Just don't believe that I exist. Because as the old phrase goes, it's not what you know, but what you don't know that will get you, that will kill you, right? If we are ignorant of the fact that there are spiritual forces that want your demise, that want to introduce chaos and destruction, and they hope their whole incentive and intention is to cause distress and dis-ease in your life, if you're not aware of that, you're open for being able to stumble and fall and not have the resource you need. So we need to be aware, not buy into the lie. Secondly, though, we need to activate. And how do we activate St. Michael? Well, I'm going to take Genesis, Revelation, a little bit of Isaiah, and then wrap it into tradition to tell the story of the two great virtues that empowered Michael and empower us when in this spiritual battle. The very beginning, the creation of angels. When did God create the angels? Does it say in Scripture? Well, St. Augustine says it did. When God said on the very first day, let there be light. St. Augustine says that's the creation of the spiritual order. Before the sun and the moon, day four, by the way, right? Spiritual creation, the creation of all the angelic hosts, that very first day. And one of the creatures God created, in fact, arguably the most intelligent, the most wise, the most naturally gifted spiritual creature God ever created, was named the one who carries the light. carries the torch, the fire. And this angel looked at God and then considered himself, looked at himself and said, I've got it all. I am the most wise, powerful, intelligent creature that God would ever, and in a sense, could ever create. And so when it comes to my happiness, I'm going to look from within. And when it comes to what should I do, don't worry, I got this. I'm going to, with all apologies to Frank Sinatra, I'm going to do it my way. This spiritual creature, the most powerful, the one who bears the light, in Latin his name is Lucifer. Lucifer, the one who thinks happiness comes from within. You ever heard that? If you want to be happy, look within. Yeah, go for it. Lucifer did. You think that doing it your way, it's all about me, like my will is reigns supreme? Go for it. You will experience the effects of pride that is disconnected from the true source of life. Lucifer doesn't want to be God. Lucifer doesn't even really battle directly against God. He simply says, I will not serve. I am sufficient unto myself. And in that moment, we see this in Revelation, there's an angel, not from the highest ranks of angels, but one of the lower ones. So we have the traditional nine choirs, one of the lower angels comes forward, not as powerful, not as intelligent, not as naturally gifted, and he simply speaks a word. And what word does this angel speak? He speaks what we now know traditionally, his name. He says the word Michael. Michael in Hebrew, any name that ends with E-L has to do with God. And the name Michael literally means who is like God? It's a kind of rhetorical question, if you will. And it connects two powerful virtues which show us not only the strength of Saint Michael, but invite us to share in that. And these two virtues are humility and courage. On the one hand, Saint Michael says, who is like God? Short answer, nobody, right? No one is like God, right? If we want happiness, if we want to know our purpose, the meaning, the sense of direction in our life, it's impossible to find unless we are humble enough to know we need to be connected with our Creator. We have to have that humility to know that no one is God. We are all insignificant in terms of power in relation to the force, the power of supreme being. And the power, in the light of infinite knowledge and wisdom, in the strength of the power of love, and God as creator. So who is like God? An expression of humility. At the same time, though, it's not just humility that stands over in the corner, but a humility that strides forth. And even though he's outgunned, if you will, or in every way, not on a natural equal of Lucifer, he says what? Who is like God? Meaning, not only I am less than God, but with God, I can do all things. I can even stand up to you, Lucifer. And so St. Michael in Revelation leads the angels, all of the angels, with the power, not of himself, but with the power of God who vanquishes, who casts down to the earth from heaven those minions of those who look to themselves, Lucifer, and the dark forces. St. Michael, a potent alchemy connection of humility with courage. And so for us, we need to be aware, we need to activate the life of St. Michael, his resource in our lives, very powerful prayer. Perhaps we know it, traditional prayer that often said at the end of Mass. We'll pray it in our universal prayer, gathering all of our intentions. And this is what I want you to kind of focus on, be aware of. In our lives, we don't have to be possessed by the demon. Not many of us are. Frankly, the devil doesn't like possession. Why? Because it shows that he exists. And what's the great lie again? He doesn't exist. So you're going to have very few possessions because it's very obvious, right? Very rare, right? Because if the game is up at that point, he's done. It's the last card he can play, so to speak. After that, it's over. But what does he do? He influences. He breaks into our imagination. He tempts us like he did Christ. Every day we found temptations, and we can struggle with failure after failure. We have those addictions in our life. Around food and drink, drugs, sex, pornography, anger, rage, These are addictions that keep us chained, keep us bound to the forces of evil who want to introduce dis-ease and chaos in our lives. And so when we pray that prayer to St. Michael, we know that St. Michael shows up whenever we are stuck in addiction, whenever we are struggling with temptation and are stuck. When we pray, St. Michael shows up. When we are stuck, St. Michael shows up. On the other hand, it's not necessarily moments of temptation, but opportunities for virtue. Perhaps those times when we're struggling, or perhaps there's a great stress or anxiety in our life, some great responsibility, we find ourselves carrying that burden. The opportunity to grow in patience, in long-suffering, in generosity, in forgiveness. St. Michael also shows up. If you want to grow in virtue, yet again, Michael can, with that wonderful blend of humility, I can't do it on my own, and yet courage that God can do all things through me. St. Michael can be our powerful intercessor. We pray then today, on this feast of the holy archangels, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, that we might have recourse to the intercession of St. Michael. In our moments of temptation and our moments of stress and struggle, we ask that the one who said, who is like God, the one who exemplifies for us and manifests the power of humility mixed with courage, we ask that we might too be courageously humble, that so that when we are stuck, we can pray and St. Michael shows up. Amen.